Hey everyone, I'm Heather Poduska and welcome to the call. Today we are going to be focusing on how to create a content calendar that sells. It's so important to be in regular touch with your audience. As they say, out of sight, out of mind, and we live in a very noisy, very crowded world with lots of bings and boops and bops, and it's really important that you stay front of mind with your clients, because if you are not front of mind, someone else is front of mind and their dollars are going to somebody else. But so often we find ourselves really scrambling, A, for time to get our voice out, and B, figuring out what we want to say when we get our voice out. So a lot of times we end up staring at the computer screen, getting more and more frustrated by the minute. Or the other thing that might happen is you might, you know, sort of get in a groove about what you want to talk about, and then a big launch comes up, and you have to push for the launch. And then when you come back to your marketing and your calendar, it's like, oh, wait, where was I? Huh? What was I doing? And it doesn't line up with the rest of what's going on in your business. But there is a more elegant, easier, streamlined way to do this. What if you knew exactly what you were going to write about every time you sat down to mail to your list, write a blog post, create an article, do a post on social media, or even write copy for a video? Not only is it possible, it's preferable to create a specific outline for your content so that it reflects your expertise, is on brand, and cha-ching, drives your audience to your offers. So today it's going to be very simple, a straightforward formula that I'm going to be giving to you so you can take the pressure off when you're writing to your list. If you've done your branding work up to this point, and I've said this several times throughout this course, this is going to be so much easier. And also, one thing I want to mention to you as we go through this, once you create your content for the week or the month or however often you are creating content, you can repurpose that content across many, many channels. So you are really leveraging your efforts. It's a beautiful thing. So if you're creating a blog post for your email list, you can take a piece out of that and do something on Facebook. You can take a little blurb out of that and do a Twitter post. You can make a meme out of it and post it on Instagram. You could do a video about it. You could do a podcast about it. So really understanding what the content outline is and the themes of what you're going to be talking about is the foundational work. And once you have that done, you're going to have so much content to work with, and you're going to free up your time and your energy. Okay, let's get started. We are going to start by talking about how to establish the themes of what you want to talk about to build up your content library. Because once you nail your themes, again, as I've said many times before, it's plug and play. And if you have done your branding work, this is going to be a lot easier. Because once you have a clear idea of your brand, you can begin to communicate your unique promise of value to your audience through your thought leadership. And when you are a thought leader, you are a leader, and people start to pay attention and follow you. When you do, you'll be recognized and distinguished in your field as a respected expert. In order to do so really effectively, it's important to have your own clear voice and to project that voice with confidence. As all great singers know, the secret to projecting your voice is singing from your core. And as an entrepreneur, you develop your core by creating content themes from your brand, right? I mean, this is all about the point of view that we talked about and all the work that we did to really get you in touch with what matters to you, what your thoughts are about what you do. And also, I've talked about this before, getting you touching a little bit with your anger. And this is sort of a unique viewpoint that I have, that I think that your viewpoint or one's viewpoint, sometimes one of the best ways to get in touch with that is to pay attention to what either breaks your heart or makes you angry. Like, gosh darn it, why is this like this? If these people would just change this, or if the world could just do this, or I'm so disgusted or sickened by this, and if I could wave a magic wand and make this transformation happen, everything would be better. That feeling, that direction, that's your point of view. And when you can start to express that clearly and consistently and thread it through all your communications, you are going to separate yourself from the pack. So that's where we're going to start. Your core content themes are those ideas and ideals which are unique to you and your work. They are the core concepts in which you believe, for which you take and would be willing to take a stand, and on which you drive your work. Creating a core content theme is your opportunity to articulate your beliefs, your passion, your point of view about life and about your business to your target audience. And from these core themes, you can create an entire communications platform. This is huge. I really want to reemphasize that. You can create an entire platform around these themes that really are going to distinguish you. But first, you have to be clear and concise about your message. Your core content theme may look a little bit like your tagline or your elevator pitch, but it's about a point of view more than anything else. Remember, you're establishing thought leadership, so it should be your unique perspective. So we're going to start with your point of view, that core belief that you have, or, you know, it might be one or two core beliefs, right? So I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Brand or success coach working with female entrepreneurs. This is like an example of a little mini manifesto. Women entrepreneurs can create more wealth, attract more clients, and find more job satisfaction by finding and projecting their own unique and powerful voices. I wonder whose point of view that is, right? Clear, that's my point of view. A nutritionist. Sugar consumption is the number one issue facing people trying to lose weight. By cutting sugar intake and increasing daily protein, clients can lose weight quickly without feeling hungry. Or to make that one even more powerful, you could talk about, you know, how deadly sugar is and the diseases that it causes. But it's whatever your unique point of view is, and it's sort of that core belief. My core belief, personally, as a human being, I feel like if you have access to your voice and know how to use it, anything is possible. So that is going to be running through a huge portion of my communications to my audience. If you're a parenting coach, your point of view might be parents who are too rigid create behavioral problems. Children thrive with boundaries, not punishments. Parents who learn how to implement loving discipline create happy, healthy homes. Okay, so you want to go back to what your point of view is. Start with your unique point of view about your service or the problem your ideal client faces. Describe what you feel should be or could be done to improve the situation, and then describe the results clients get from taking those actions. So here are a couple of questions to get you back in touch. And again, you may have already done this work. What is the biggest obstacle your audience faces right now as you see it? So for me, people are not clear on their message, or they don't have their voice, so they're not clear on their message, or they don't have their voice because they're not in touch with themselves, or they don't have their voice because they're scared. They don't have the support, they don't have the confidence and the courage to share it yet. Okay. So what are the three most essential pieces of information your clients, for your clients to have or know to address those problems? So if you're a health coach, what are the three most important pieces of information that your clients need to have in order to create a healthy, wholesome life? Is it something about nutrition? Is it about stress? Is it about exercise? What do they need to know? How does your service help them solve that problem. And this, again, we've repeated this work a lot, but you're just gaining information to use in your mark, in your content calendar, right? So what services do you have that help those issues? And this is really important. For me, I could say I have performance masterclasses. I have the Fast Track Brand Academy. I have Speak to Self courses. I help people with VIP days, right? So all these different ways that I help them. And the reason you want to really articulate the problems that they have, what they need, and the services that you have is because you are going to align your content calendar with your services. You are never again going to put out a piece of content without a call to action. It's a huge mistake that people make. Even if you're doing an article, you want to have what you are selling in the back of your mind and be able to, you know, just like we did with your signature talk, you can seed your copy with selling, even if you don't actually make a clear, you know, buy here button at the bottom of your articles. Because you might be listing your articles on platforms where you're not allowed to sell technically, but you still want to have in mind what you are driving people towards. Okay, and again, what is the greatest wish for your client? These are things that you want to know. And this question is one of my all-time favorites. If you were a preacher, a rabbi, an imam, a holy man, holy woman, what would your core message be to your congregation? You know, I don't know if you've ever been to London and you see the soapboxes and they go up there and people get up there and yell and preach. So what would your soapbox be? If you had a congregation of your ideal clients and you just really wanted them to know, you wanted to take them to church in the best possible way so that they got the message that you were trying to communicate, right? You can save people's lives if you implement this strategy. If you are able to take care of yourself, mommy, you are going to save your family. If you have your authentic voice, if you really, really know yourself and love yourself deeply and wholly, you can have the life of your dreams. You can create the business you want. You can be an absolute star. So I like this question because you are a prophet in your own business. You'll make profits as well, but you are proselytizing your audience with something you care deeply and passionately about, and that is what's going to make people turn around and pay attention to what you have to say. So the first thing is, what is your core content theme, your core message? And again, this is probably just going to be your point of view that you've worked on before, but if you haven't nailed it yet, this is another chance to do so. So write down your core content theme. And again, I said mine is, if you have your voice, you have everything you need to succeed. So once you have your core theme, it's like the trunk of your tree. And then you're going to have sub-themes that are like the branches from your tree. So once you've established that main theme, your core theme, you can move on to these sub-themes in relationship to your brand and your business. These branches are simply supporting views or aspects to the work you provide in your business for your audience. So, for example, if you've created a signature system already, as we have worked on together, or a class, each step or module of the program that you've created could be a sub-theme. So, again, for my business, I might have a brand theme around sales or the importance of image and style, right? If I have a signature system and it's about developing your message and your point of view. And then another step might be target audience, how to create a, just like, you know, some of this work that we've already done, creating a signature system. Then each sub-theme that I have could be about one of those topics. It's really important to find your voice to have success, but how is that voice expressed to build a business? Well, you could write a signature talk. So it's really important to have a signature talk to communicate your message. It's really important to have a signature system so that your unique way of business is expressed through the services that you provide. So you can see that those are all sub-themes. And so again, if you've done the work, this is very streamlined and easy. So your sub-themes may be services that you provide, but they might also be other points of view that direct back to your core point of view. So again, I'll use myself as an example because it's just easy. if you have your voice, you have everything you need to succeed. Your image, your style, how you present yourself visually is an expression of your voice. So it's a sub-theme. It's a sub-theme for mine. So I'll use the health coach. Optimal health is, you know, without your health, you have nothing. So that might be a core point of view. And another sub-view might be stress will kill you if you don't take care of it. I mean, that's sort of extreme, but, you know, something about stress or the importance of exercise or the importance of having great relationships. So you can see how those come together. So take a second now and write down your sub-themes. And if you've done a signature system, some of these you're just going to pluck right out of there. So it might be about the importance of setting boundaries. It might be the importance of making a good first impression. It might be the importance of being able to read people. It might be the importance of doing what you want with your life because there's only so much time. It might be around the importance of saving if you're a financial coach, right? So if you're a financial coach, you might have something, you might have a point of view that taking care of your finances is the most loving thing you can do for your family. That's a really powerful point of view. And then all of the sub-themes might be around insurance, life insurance, disability insurance, saving for retirement, estate planning, right? So those could be sub-themes. Okay. Once you have all these themes, you can use them to outline your content calendar by cycling through them on a monthly basis. If you have 12, if you came up with 12 sub-themes, you can do one a month. It's fine. If you have fewer than 12, you can cycle through them. And it's so easy. Say you have 6. Well, if you do monthly theme, you would do January through June, and then you repeat. Or you could do, you could go back and forth and do it like the first one the first month, the second one the second month, and then just mix them up. You could do it according to what's going on in the world, right? If you have, if you're a financial coach and you have something about taxes in your signature system, well, it would make sense to do something around taxes in March or April when we're really thinking about that. So we're going to put this content together in a way that's going to be really streamlined so that you can see what this is going to look like in real time. Once you've established your core content theme and you've created your sub-themes, you can fill in your calendar. And planning these sub-themes ahead of time will not only save you massive amounts of time, it will keep you focused and on brand as you move through the year. You can repurpose your material across different platforms, like I've already said, to help you fill out your marketing plan. Try to think about how each sub-theme supports or is related to your core theme. And doing this will stop you from getting too far off the mark. It's okay to talk about many different topics. However, as long as they're connected to your main theme in some way, remember, you're trying to establish yourself as a thought leader in your field. So don't be afraid to put your own spin on your material. And one of the ways that you can do that is being contrary to something that's happening in the world right now, right? So I remember there was a big controversy when Angelina Jolie had her double mastectomy. And there were people that applauded her for her bravery, how brave she was to have that surgery. And I read something online about a doctor who was like, this is detrimental. She's giving the wrong message. This was too radical. Other people are going to lose their breasts that don't need to. It was just like complete 180 from what the popular belief or, you know, sort of dogma out in the world was at the time. And whether I agreed with her or didn't agree with her, I certainly remembered her, right? So you can use that in your own marketing to establish your thought leadership is to be really, provocative. Okay, so let's get started. This is plug and play. You want to be organized and systematized. So you are going to list your sub-themes. Just write them down. So one I have, so the core theme is helping female entrepreneurs find and project their own unique voice into the marketplace. So sub-themes might be creating or setting goals, creating priorities, finding your niche, effective communications. So you can write your, in the chart that is one of the templates that you have, you can write that right in there. So to put your sub-themes in there and see how many you have. Okay. And if you have 12, that's one for each month. Now you can break those down even further into four or five topics relating to each of the sub-themes even, right? So say one of your, if you're a health coach, say one of your sub-themes was stress, well, you might have four sub-themes under stress that are stress in relationships, stress at work, how to reduce stress, stress that's caused by toxic foods, right? So you can then break it down even more so that you have even more clarity and systems to follow as you move forward. Okay. Because the more you do this, the easier it's going to get. And I gave an example for one of a sub-theme of setting goals. So week one of that month might be creating time and space to work. Week two, are your goals your own goals or someone else's? Week three, getting clear on your vision. Week four, prioritizing your time. So you can see how those are all sub-themes of goal setting. Okay. The next thing is, as you're planning out your calendar, don't be afraid to incorporate elements of each month or each season into your plan. And this you can do ahead of time. And it's, you know, it's really the frosting on the cake. So, for example, you could use December as the month to discuss how to reduce stress, like we just talked about, or how to save money and not overspend, or how to stay healthy during the holidays, or whatever it is. How to be more giving or how to plan ahead for the coming year, which might be a product or a program that you're launching. So check out the calendar and see if there are any holidays ahead of time, any unique things that happen annually. I already mentioned taxes. This year we have a presidential election. That's something that you could incorporate and tie it back to what you, you know, if you have a theme. So for me, that works out really well. So I could talk about image. I could talk about platform. I could talk about voice, all of those performance skills. So I can tie those back into my sub-themes if I want to talk about things. And it makes you relevant and current when you talk about that. And if you're really smart in your content and your marketing, you can use hashtags so that if something's trending, and you can just go on Google and write trending in the Google search, and it'll show you what's trending. And if you use those hashtags and connect your content to something that's trending, well, you're just driving even more traffic to what you're doing. So, and then there are, you know, things that also just happen every year, like back to school. Spring break. You can look up things. There are a billion of these now, but like October, I think October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. February is Black History Awareness Month. You know, there's all different, you know, months have been usurped by all different kinds of causes. So be creative and look up things that you can use. And once you have all these different holidays, themes, special events, you want to make sure you always plan according to your call to action. And I mentioned this before, that if you have something that's going to launch in January, you know, again, it's just so easy to use the health coach, but you could use financial coaching, you could use any kind of business strategy coaching, because people kick things off in the new year, right? So you look at your launches, what you want to plan, what you want to launch. So if you want to do something about goal setting that ties into your business or, you know, healthy goal setting for your health, you might plan to talk about that in December or even November, knowing that you want to launch something that applies to that topic in January so that you're priming your audience. And you always, always, always want a call to action on every piece of your content you create. Point your audience to what you are selling. If you have more than one offer in your business, that's totally fine. You just want to connect whatever it is that you're trying to sell in the moment to that content. And sometimes, I'll tell you honestly, sometimes for me, the content that I'm creating dictates what I sell at the end. I mean, it's sort of a reverse way of doing it. You might think about the offer first and then create content about what you want to sell. Or you might create something, a lovely article that you're writing, and then you look at the article and you're like, okay, where would people who read this article need to go next to take the next step? And then you can connect it that way. And if you don't have a specific offer that you're trying to drive people to, always put a call to action to talk to you, to have a strategy session, to email you with their feedback. You want engagement. And that's the other thing. When you create this content, ask for feedback. Always. Always ask for feedback. Always have a call to action and always ask people to share. If you make a really great video, I just made a video this morning about setting bold actions, and I said, if you find this inspirational, share it. Find an accountability partner and do it together, right? There's always a call to action. So now you have this, and I've given you a chart to do week by week. So you're going to map out your communications calendar, your content calendar with your themes. So whatever your main point of view is, and your sub-theme, say January is goal setting, right? So you put goal setting at the top of January, and then come up with four or five topics that are related to goal setting. In the notes, you can put down any, you know, holidays, any things, like there's President's Day in January, it's New Year's, what else happens in January? You know, I don't know, I can't think off the top of my head. Say it's February, you have Valentine's Day, and March, you have the Ides of March, you have St. Patrick's Day, sometimes there's Easter, it's spring, so all of these different things. And then look at it ahead of time and come up with ideas to write about. It doesn't mean you have to write the articles that absolutely align with that, but you're starting to map it out. So when you sit down to your computer, you're not like, oh my God, what am I going to write about? You already know what you're going to write about. And you can do this for the whole year. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about is just keywords when you're creating your content. So this is about SEO, right? Search engine optimization. You want to create your content for keywords that people would be searching you for. So for me, it might be speaking, style, success, business coaching, niche, messaging, entrepreneurship, small business, profit, ROI. So all of those would be keywords for me, right? And you want to put your keywords especially in your titles. So if a keyword for you is happiness, then you want to put, you know, let's use December, 5 simple tips to increase your happiness during the stressful holiday season, right? So there you've actually nailed 2. Happiness, and stressful, right? How to stay happy, healthy, and stress-free during the holidays, right? There's 3 keywords. So you want to populate your articles and your titles with your keywords so they're searchable and with using hashtags when you're doing things on Twitter. So when you do your monthly things, you make a list, and this is, you can do this now. I didn't put this in the template, but I'm telling you now, make a list of your keywords of like 10 to 20 keywords that are applicable to your business that people would search you out for, and populate your articles with it. Now, you don't want to overdo it because, you know, you can get flagged for that as well. People might think, the search engines might think you're spam if you're overpopulating with keywords, but you do want to saturate your marketing with your keywords because it's like having, you know, your name in the phone book or your article in an encyclopedia from the, you know, you want people to be able to find you. So put your keywords on your chart, which keywords go so that you can plug them into your titles. So I hope that you found this helpful. I find it extremely helpful, and it helps to plan things out ahead of time. You're not constantly combing your brain, and it doesn't mean that you, if you have a moment of inspiration, that you can't plug it into what you're doing. You know, especially another tip that you can do is write about your life. What is happening now? And use narrative, right? Like it might be, again, I'll go back to the video that I created for today. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately that have been talking about taking bold action, and it really inspired me to do this video. And that also happens to align with a lot of the things that I do in my business about being visible and stepping into the spotlight. But it wasn't something that I had premeditated or planned out months ago. It's something that has been sort of like on my mind, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do that today. So you can do that as well. You can be flexible. But this should give you plenty of ammunition to populate your entire year with content in a streamlined, aligned, profitable, stress-free way that accentuates your expertise and positions you as a thought leader in your industry. Okay, I hope you found that helpful, and I'm going to open up the lines for questions. Hold on a second. Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, any questions?
I'm like writing and writing and writing. I'm like, hold on. I'm like, don't move on. I wish I could say pause for a second. Pause.
Well, you do have the recording, so you can go back and listen to it.
I do.
So was that helpful?
Yeah, because I'm not a planner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't plan well that way. Oh, my God.
So you know what? If you find it difficult to plan, make your chart. Right? Even if you can't, you just go back, Jen. We did this mm-hmm. yesterday, and we came up with 7 steps. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Know
yeah.
what you
yeah.
want. So you already have 7 months right there. Know
yeah.
what you want. Establish your personal boundaries, thinking outside the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you already have that much of it done. And since you have some structure already there, you're going to find that as you're in the shower or driving your car or working with a client, something's going to pop into your mind and you're going to be like, oh, this would be perfect for setting personal boundaries. I want to write an article about that. So just make a note of it in your content calendar and you can go
mm-hmm.
back to it later. That way you don't have to be like, because when is the worst time to be creative in your writing?
Me?
I don't anybody.
Write. Oh.
It's usually
right
when you sit down
it.
And say,
yeah.
I have to write something.
You have
something.
To do it, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's
right.
like
when
the worst time.
You have to
time
do
you...
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have your, you know, sort of this structure, this outline, you know, these themes that you put it to work for you in your unconscious, write them down and just know that they're in your back pocket, that those are the themes that you have. And as you go through your life, just notice and say, okay, that goes with stress. That goes with whatever. That goes with, you know, first impressions, Trish. So whatever. And you can just start to collect things that way. So it's not, that's why we do the outline.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you spoke a lot about health coaching on that one.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It's just it's an easy example
I know.
To use.
Of course it is. I was just wondering if you could just give me a few ideas.
Sure. So, okay. So, and Trish, I think that this is something that will be good for you because have you done your signature system yet?
Yes.
Okay, so what are the steps to your signature system?
Oh, right. I don't have it in front of me. Well, I guess I should know it already, huh?
That's okay, just...
You totally pulled me for a blank. I just had the stuff that we just did right in front of me, otherwise I get overwhelmed with everything in front of me at once.
No problem. If someone was going to work with you, what would it be that you would want to teach them?
I would like to teach them how to overcome adversity.
Okay, perfect. How to overcome adversity. I love that.
Me too.
And what would they need to learn from you to do that?
Well, first I would share a few of my own experiences because I think you have to, everybody says, you know, goes back to, oh, that would never happen to me. Or I can't imagine that being my life, right? Well, guess what? It's real, and it happened. And I usually start at my weight loss.
Okay, so are you talking about, Trish, are you talking about giving a talk, or are you talking about having someone as a client that you're coaching?
Well, I think, well, see, this is, I could probably need help with this. If I'm coaching somebody, I have to give my personal experiences so they know that I've been through this and I get what they are going through.
Well,
because I think if you don't
understand it
and experience it, it's different.
I think that talking about your personal story is great, and it's great to get people in the funnel, and you can talk about that when you're working with them so that they understand that you really understand what they're going through.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what you're teaching them. So maybe
I
could
teach them how to get over the hump, right?
Say that again?
Like, you know, get through the obstacles. How do I get them through the obstacles of adversity?
Yes. So how would you help them overcome adversity? And, I mean, I'm going to help you just a little bit because you said accepting what's happened is real. Like, is that the first step?
Yes. I say it out loud. Because
okay.
You have to, when you say something out loud, you're accepting it.
So you can put your own words to it, but, you know, saying it out loud, that would be maybe one of the steps to coming to accepting, but accepting reality, maybe, right? Accepting the reality of your situation. Okay. After they've accepted the reality of their situation, what's the next thing they need to learn to overcome their adversity?
Now they've accepted their reality, okay, what are we going to do to change this and make it better?
Okay, what are they going to do? What steps are you going to take them through to do that?
I'm going to ask them, what have you been doing? Like, how did you get to this point? Okay, now that you're here, we need to change it. So, number one, if it's, let's say, stress causes cancer, whatnot, we need to exercise. We need to implement some type of program and focus on you. Meaning the person I'm talking to.
Okay, so maybe the second step is understanding how you got, understanding.
Point.
Sorry?
Understanding how they got to the point they're at.
Right, understanding your history maybe, understanding, I don't know, but understanding how they got to where they are, right?
Or like understanding the path that took them to this place.
How about like owning your story?
Oh, perfect. Owning your story. Perfect. Thank you, Jen. Owning your story.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. Bravo. Okay. So accepting reality, owning your story, and maybe those two things could actually be the same. So once they see where they've come from, what is the next thing that they need to do to overcome adversity?
Well, once you own your story, then for me, I have to go back to my own personal experience, I almost had to become a little OCD to get through my life transformation, where nothing else matters but me.
So extreme self-care?
Yes. And
practicing
on them. Like if it's cancer, you have to focus on you. You have to block everything else out and remove all toxicity from your life, and that includes people.
Okay, so remove all toxicity. Putting the focus back on you. Okay. So after they've put the focus back on them and they've removed all toxicity from their life, what next do they need to do to overcome adversity?
I ask them, I often use a mirror, and I have them, you know, share what they see in the mirror, and that usually gets to the core. So if they don't like what they see in the mirror, I ask them, okay, what steps do you think that you can do to change that? And then I help assist through those steps.
Okay, so creating a new life plan.
And usually a new image is what it comes down to.
Like creating a new self-image.
That's why I say if you don't like the image or look at the image in the mirror, not the reflection. Because you have to
creating a new sense of self, would you say?
Okay.
I'm just, you can change this, okay?
That's a good one.
A new sense of self. Okay. So we have accepting the reality of your situation, understanding your story, owning your story, I think Jen said, which was lovely, learning to practice extreme self-care and put the focus back on you, removing all toxicity from your life, and creating a new sense of self. What else? At that point, once they have the new sense of self, are they through adversity? What else do they need to overcome adversity?
It's practice. It's a lifestyle.
Okay.
It's your approach and your attitude is huge. I mean,
okay, so
attitude adjustment.
Adjusting your attitude. And then maybe something about...
And that might even have to go up the top more. Like once
okay. So you can tweak this. Listen, you can tweak this how you want to, right? And then there's creating a healthy healthy lifestyle plan. And then I'm just going to throw this out there. Would they need some kind of a support system?
Well, I think everybody needs a support system. However, overcoming adversity is when you find out who your real support system is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're faced with adversity.
So finding your true support. Finding the right support.
I think finding the true and right support.
Okay.
Because it also matters what kind of adversity are you going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we just came up with 9 points, right?
Yes.
And you can refine this. So this might be your signature system, right? What did you say before? There was something really wonderful that you said before. It was a title. It was...
The image in the mirror?
No, it wasn't today. It was, I think, yesterday, the day before.
The life of triumph.
Yes, there you go. A life of triumph. 9 steps to overcoming adversity and creating the life you've always wanted.
So say that again. 9 steps of overcoming.
9 steps to overcoming adversity and creating a new life of joy, health, and happiness, or whatever you want the rest of it to be, right? But a life of triumph, how to overcome adversity and live the life you were always meant to live, whatever that is. So like the second half of how to overcome adversity. But this could be a signature system for you. This could be a coaching program for you so that when you're out talking, you can funnel people into this program. I have this program where I teach people the 9 fundamental steps to overcoming adversity and creating the life that they've always wanted, or their new life, their new happy, whatever that the after is, right? The after of the before, whatever that is.
Right.
Okay, so you can fill this out how you want to and tweak the steps. I because we did this in a very short amount of time, but accepting the reality of your situation, taking ownership of your story. Maybe it's 8, I don't know. Learning to put the focus back on you, removing all toxicity from your life, creating a new sense of self. Oh, what does my writing say here? Oh.
I'm glad you have that problem too.
Yeah. Well, I was writing fast. Learning to adjust your attitude, creating a new lifestyle plan, and finding the true and right support. So that can be your system. You can fill in underneath the points of what you're going to learn in each of those steps. That's going to be your content. But can you see how for each, like you have 9 months worth of content.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's just take attitude adjustments, right? Could you think of four things or four or five things that are related to adjusting your attitude?
That's huge. I could think of more than that.
Right, so just jot them down, right?
Yeah.
So then you have a month's worth of content.
If I gave a talk on attitude adjustment, what would be a creatively, how would you market that with your creative niche, attitude adjustment?
Well, you have to always, okay, I'm gonna give you a quiz. Jen and Trish, what am I going to say about that? Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Wait,
what do you have to think about first?
What's the call to action?
Sort of, almost. Your brand.
What's the offer going to be? Or is it brand?
Sort of. So what is in it for the audience? What's the result?
Results.
Right? What is the result that the audience is going to get from learning to adjust their attitude? Don't just come in and tell me I need to adjust my attitude.
Right.
I'll be like,
screw you, lady,
go home.
Right.
Right? What's in it for me if I adjust my attitude?
Well, adjusting your attitude to me is a complete, it's a lifestyle. Because
why do I want to adjust my lifestyle? I'm perfectly happy with what I'm doing. Why do I want to adjust my lifestyle?
Well, if you're perfectly happy with what you're doing, you wouldn't be here.
And why am I there?
To get results, and you're there.
What kind of results?
I'm going to teach you when you change your attitude or make an attitude adjustment, your approach and delivery and your outcome on whatever task at hand is going to be positive benefits instead of negative consequences.
Okay, so that's pretty close, but I need you to say it in a clearer, more powerful way, because you got to the result at the very end. I'm going to have more ease in my life, more time, better health, better sex, better relationships, more money. What is it that I'm going to get from this?
You are going to see how people approach, I mean, having an attitude difference, you're putting out a different energy. You're putting out a positive energy, and more people are going to magnify and come to you when you put out a different energy, and that's all with attitude.
I'm going to have better relationships.
Better relationships, and I mean, I know I keep going back to just my own experiences, but just changing your attitude changes your energy. A positive attitude is positive energy.
So you're going to be happier?
Absolutely.
Okay, so those are results. I'm going to be happier. I'm going to have better relationships. I'm going to attract better kinds of clients. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to get better responses and better care from my health care providers. I'm going to heal more quickly. My health is going to be better. Those are results.
Okay.
Okay? So saying to someone, you just have to adjust your attitude is the equivalent of saying, I'm going to sell you that you have to run 10 miles to lose weight. Instead of selling them, you're going to look hot in your skinny jeans.
Right.
Do you see the difference?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay, because I think that adjusting your attitude is a wonderful thing to be telling people. I think it's extremely valuable content. So I don't want you to change the content of what you're talking about, because I think it's really important and it's very deep, near and dear to your heart, and you've seen how it can transform people's lives. So I don't want you to think that I'm criticizing the content.
No, it's just
not what you're selling. You want to sell the results, the benefits of the talk, because you asked me how I would pitch that talk. But you can't pitch the process. You have to pitch the promise.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And that would be to heal more quickly with an attitude adjustment.
So the attitude adjustment, you're not that, I wouldn't sell that. I would say
You're going to heal more quickly with changing the...
How to use the power of your mind to heal faster and live a healthier, more carefree life. You don't have to tell me anything about attitude until you're at the talk.
Okay. How to use the power of your mind. What did you say after that?
I don't know. To have better health care, attract better relationships, and live a happier life. You know, whatever the result is that you want to promise, right? And it depends on your audience.
Okay.
But I think keep going back, Trish, to what your feelings are, because you kind of went through that process. What were the benefits for you? What were your results?
What were my results?
Yeah.
When I did this, my results were...
Well, the only reason I'm saying that is because that was a struggle for me when I'm trying to explain what I do. I'm like, because, God, it's just so logical. But it's, I really had to take a step back and go, what was the first thing I did when I was like, okay, I've had enough with how I'm feeling? What was the first thing I did? And the first thing I did was a 28-day cleanse. So that was like, I did it. And it led me to, what was the next thing I did? I explore. So what were the steps that you got? And then, because it's really, I totally understand what you're saying, because it's really hard once we get to the other side of things to be like, oh my God, you have to do this because it's going to change everything. But you got to, and excuse my language, because this is a terrible thing, but I'm going to say it anyway. You almost have to dumb yourself down. You have to go back to step one. Before you feel so good, how'd you feel before and what'd you do? Because now
right.
We know how you feel, because you're on the other side of it. And when we're on the other side of things, sometimes it's really hard, like, to go back to the beginning. Like, Heather's so good at going back to what the steps are. I think you and I get a little discombobulated around that, and we get lost in how we got there, because we're so passionate about getting other people there.
So that's a really good point, Jen. And all of it is important. How you got there is really important, and that's your process. But
that's
you're not You're not selling your process.
You're not selling your process.
You're selling the results.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
But I think that, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, but, you know, and that's what I meant to say is, like, I think Trish is talking about the process, which makes total sense. But for when you're trying to sell yourself to get into a room to speak, it's not the process. You can talk about that later. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And they're both super important.
Yes.
And I think, Jen, you brought up a great point. It's me, you know, okay, getting into that room to speak. So I have this process, and then I have to sell, or not necessarily sell, but I have to show the results. But I want to sell because I want to be asked to come back again, or somebody else in the room to hire me for something else. Would you say that's correct?
Is that a question? Are you asking if that's what you want?
Well, I know what I want. That's what I want, because I want to go from stage to stage to stage to stage to speak.
Right.
That's what I want.
Great.
It's getting on that first stage. I've been on a first stage, but I need to implement a program where, like you said, every month I want to be booked on a weekly basis going somewhere speaking.
So really, I know that that's what you want, Trish, and there's no reason that you can't have it. You just need to put your talk together like we did, and it's like selling anything. It's like selling anything that you're doing. You have to think about what is in it for your audience. Why are they going to book you? What is the value that you're going to bring? If your talk is about how to overcome adversity, I think that's phenomenal. A life of triumph, how to come over any adversity in your life. And you have your steps. You have the points of your talk. Right? We just did it.
Right.
That's it. And then if you want to do something on the back end, you can just say, these are the steps that I take my clients through. And if you'd like to learn, take this to the next level, if you are going, you know what? If you're sitting in that seat right now and you are going through something and it feels like you're never going to get through it, it's the end of the world. Maybe it's you, maybe it's a loved one, and you are facing something you never thought you would have to face in your life, and you just don't know what the next step is. You cannot see your way to the other side. I can help
you. That's where my light comes in, yeah.
Right? And you've got your process.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it made total sense. Thank you both, Heather and Jen.
Okay. Because you, I just want to say again, you have so much to give. I love the thing about adjusting your attitude. It's wonderful content. It's just that you want to sell the results.
Right. And adjusting attitude, obviously that could be a step. I mean, that could be in my process, but I think maybe after a life of triumph overcoming adversity, after that signature talk is blowing up doors, then my sub-themes can be implemented more and more.
Absolutely, and you can use that as a program. And the other thing is that if you want to talk about the attitude adjustment, I mean, you could call something like an attitude of triumph, how to change your mindset to create better health, in better health, happiness, and relationships. Whatever it is that you want to promise. I'm just using that as an example. It has to be what you want to bring to the table.
But your words are so good, Heather. That's why I was saying. You have, like we talked yesterday, you just have this natural gift of just the words just flow off your tongue. And Jen and I are like, wait, write that. Tell us again.
Well, I've had a lot of practice, but also it's just always thinking about the audience, who this is for, and what they want to get out of it more than anything else. 6 steps to a rock hard abs by summer. From fat to fabulous. You know.
Jen,
right?
Do people like using that word fat?
Well, it definitely resonates with some people.
I'm not saying you should use it. I'm just saying it's a like.
No. You brought it up and it just triggered me because somebody called me Fatty Patty when I was 10. And, you know, people in parenting classes and whatnot that I've taught, you don't always remember what people say to you, but you always remember how they made you feel, especially being a child. And
right.
I actually remembered both.
Right. So, Trish, what would be a before word for your audience? How are they feeling before they get help?
Depleted, defeated, scared, unknown. I mean, there's so much fear involved.
Right, so you can use those words. So from scared, how to go from scared and defeated to feeling triumphant and in control of your destiny.
See,
but I love over. What's
you
that?
You just did that, Heather. You amaze. It's like you're just amazing. You're priceless.
Well, I'm just, you just want to. Thank you, but I'm using the words. You know, that's you want to ask your audience how they're feeling. Like, Jen, how does your audience feel? They feel, what is it that they feel before they come to you?
My audience feels overwhelmed, disconnected, trapped in their lives. They feel unhealthy. They feel like they're... they don't know who they are.
So you just said like 4 points that you could put on a sales page.
Yep.
Do you feel trapped in your life?
Yeah, say it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Trapped in, yeah. In fact, for a while when I would go to like this little networking, I'd say I help women who feel trapped in the lives they created.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I do more like I help save families. It depends who I'm talking to, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. But you can use those words to create copy, and you can use those for SEO too, right?
Yep, yep.
How to go from overwhelmed to overjoyed in 3 steps. Go from overwhelmed to overjoyed, 6 easy steps to the happiness you've always wanted. But do you see how you can start to make this content pop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we're talking to you.
But you'll start to be able to do it with your own. Just out of all of the things that we've talked about, remember pain, catalyst, result. That's the most important thing. Your audience is in pain about something. They need or want a change, and they're looking for the results that you're going to deliver. And the more you can make your copy, like, mirror that, the more people will respond.
Heather, how do you feel, or, you know, good or bad, or it doesn't really matter, when you, if your talk is in question form?
What do you mean?
Because a lot of what you're saying is how to go from overwhelmed to overjoyed in 6 easy steps. So you're showing, you're saying how you're going to do this. But what are your thoughts on, do you feel trapped in your life that you created? That being the topic of your speech, your talk, but it's a question. Is there any negative connotation to that?
I wouldn't, it's just... I think that you're just sort of splitting hairs. One is, in my mind, is a title, right? Like,
right. That's how I feel. It's a title. And someone told me once, you should never make your title of your speech a question. And
yeah, I wouldn't.
I
wouldn't make your title a question.
Okay.
I wouldn't. You can make it sales copy. You know, if you're writing a sales page, would you like to know how to, you know, overcome adversity? Would you like to know how to, you know, change your mind so that you can heal faster?
Okay.
Well, I'm going to show you how to live a life of triumph and overcome adversity. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So that's you have the outline to do a lot of content creation.
Yeah, okay.
Don't get overwhelmed, because just pick one theme at a time, right? And you each, this week and last week, you each have a signature system. Even if it's not exactly what you're going to end up with, you have something. So just start with those bullet points and fill in your content calendar. And you can refine as you go along.
Okay. So you guys saw on my going back to yesterday, apparently my Facebook was hacked after you told me to you gave us that little assignment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting messages from so many people saying, I've been having requests from you as a friend and it is not you.
I got one today. Was that you?
I got one. I requested, no, I'm your friend, but I requested a friend from Trish.
No,
right,
but I got one from Heather. Trish today.
That is not me.
Oh, shit.
Is it like a redhead laying down, hold like her hand up on her, holding her
head
up on her?
I don't know, but I responded to it.
All right. Well, you guys can figure that out.
I just wanted to tell you both, because I didn't get to put out until this morning the 3 words.
Oh, okay. So I'll go and look and do that for you, because I looked for both of you yesterday and I didn't see it. So I will do that.
You know, can I ask you one quick question about that? I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were talking about Facebook and how narcissistic it is, and how, you know, people are asking you know, tell me what you like about me and how it's so, is there a way to word it so it doesn't seem narcissistic?
You can say, I've just started working with a branding coach, and this is an assignment that she gave me. If you wouldn't mind doing this for me, I would really appreciate it. I'm rebranding in my business.
Okay.
Okay, that brings up a quick question, though, Heather.
I have
a couple different Facebook pages, one from my foundation, one from my clothing apparel, and I just started one, well, then my personal one, which I friended you on, but I just have been developing my Trish O'Neill Speaks one, and I haven't published it yet because I've been just working on the content to put on it. How do you feel, like, what are your thoughts on that? Because that's a
on
lot
what?
Of different pages. That's a lot of different Facebook pages.
Oh, well, maybe we can say that for another call, but put your question on the page where the most people interact with you. So you want to get as much feedback as possible. Yep, so do it
and
there.
I just put, I was given a task to, I didn't bring up what you just said to Jen. I just said I was given a task and asked to have three words describe me.
Yeah, so you're not just saying, hey, you know, what do you think? You're saying, no, I'm rebranding in my business, and my coach gave me this assignment. If that way you can put it on, you know, someone else, say. I just did it.
Right.
If you want to go back and look at what I said on mine, I said my boss, my brand boss told me I had to do this. So.
Okay. I'm like so nervous about this hacked thing now. I'm like trying to find her. Shoot.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, let me go do this.
I have
call you and tell you who it is.
Okay.
I have a surprise for you guys, and that is that I am going to add one more call to our class next week that's going to be all Q&A.
Oh,
awesome.
Because I know that you have all these extra questions, and I know that we covered a lot, and you might have questions about something that we did, you know, in the first couple modules or, you know, whatever. So go back and look at all the things that we did, see if there's anything in any of the things that we've covered, and make your notes of your questions, and then we'll go over that in the Q&A call.
Okay. We're meeting
tomorrow, right?
We're meeting tomorrow. It's the last day of content. So tomorrow is going to be about how to be seen as a player in your industry. And then I'm going to be in Miami, and then we'll come back next week. So I wanted to check with you. We'll do it at the same time as this call is, but would Wednesday be a good day for you guys?
Excuse me. Matt, do you have a school at noon on Wednesday? Yeah, that will be fine.
Okay, so Wednesday, April 6th, will be our one-hour Q&A call.
Okay, super. Thank you so much.
Yep, I just wanted to, because I know we've gone over a lot, and you always have extra questions at the end, so I thought, well, I'm just going to throw in a little bonus for you guys, because I love ya. Okay.
Okay, super. Thanks, guys.
Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.